fighting for America.
No citizen should ever be afraid to criticize their public official. No citizen should ever be cowed into silence.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's just a prejudiced situation where kids have to be forced to choose to either not say the pledge and be potentially ostracized, or say the pledge and reaffirm a prejudice against themselves and their family.
Fighting for you.
When you have our federal governing partner from the state level acting in such an absolutely uncivil manner, it really defies the very notion of what the foundations of our government are.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Everybody has a plan until they're punched in the face.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Joining us now, our great friend Governor Otter at 580 KIDO. Governor, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
You know, we take a look at the state of things. Obviously, you're here to talk about your job as governor, what we're doing as far as business and industry and other news of the day. When we take a look at the state of Idaho, how are we doing economically? When last we were with you, we were at Ed's 50s Cafe.
And we were that's right.
And we were talking about, you know, again, bringing folks here to the Treasure Valley. How are we doing economically?
Well, we're really doing great. You know, you compare yourself, what's the scale? You compare yourself to other states. You compare yourself to the national economy. The national economy, whether it's unemployment, whether it's individual growth and income, we're outpacing the nation. We still got a lot of work to do, and we're still going to do a lot of work. And as a result of that, the legislature this last session gave us several more tools in our attractive toolbox in attracting companies to come into the state, but also to encourage companies that are here to expand. And that's really our first priority, is we want companies that are already here to grow, to hire more people, to create a greater part of our economy. But as I have said several times and in the state of the state, we did hit our Project 60
right
last year. When I became governor, the economy was $51.5 billion. Even through the recession, even through all the tough times we went through, we grew $8.5 billion. So we're at the goal of Project 60. This year we're anticipating $62.4 billion in total economy in the state, which would be about a 6.4% growth.
And you're meeting with these folks, and you know, we never had a chance to talk about your trip to Russia. You know, Russia's in the news
and
all that.
Yeah.
But what was that like for you growing up in the Treasure Valley? All of a sudden, you're meeting with people that used to be part of the Soviet Union.
Well, you can't erase that out of your mind.
Right.
You know, you're always thinking, whether you're in your hotel room or I wonder how many cameras there are in here. I wonder how many bugs there are in this room. And you, in fact, are instructed by the State Department not to leave your laptop, not to leave any sensitive information or information that is proprietary that you don't want to necessarily share with the government. Because as they go through the rooms, as they whether they're cleaning them or whatever, they'll probably take the opportunity to take a look-see. But I would tell you this. We had a great crew that went over with us. When the Iron Curtain came down, nobody knew what to do.
Right.
And so as a result, their economy, and especially their foodstuffs, and especially their red meat program, really went into the tank. They started eating the brood cows. And so now they've got a very aggressive program to grow back their producing herds. And so a couple of the folks that went over with us, Shaw Herfords and the Angus folks out of Lead Ore, Idaho, Carl Tyler and Carl Lufkin, all went over with us. We went out and worked with those folks. But we had a lot of other people, too. Zamzow's.
Right.
Went with us. They were pretty excited about what we could do.
Yeah, the technology guy from Meridian that got a lot of attention as well on that trip, too, yeah.
That's right. Ernesto, he got over there. We only had a couple of meetings set up for him. He got over there, and when those folks started seeing the dynamics of the storage programs, recovery programs that he had, all of a sudden he had about six or eight more meetings set up. In fact, I thought we were going to have to leave him in Moscow when we went on up to northern Russia because of all of those meetings that all of a sudden they wanted.
What was that for you as an American to see Red Square?
Well, I'd been there before.
Right.
I had been there, actually, I'm going to say, Kevin, it was in the early 80s. When we opened the McDonald's restaurant right there on Red Square, and right. here's the Golden Arches, one of the greatest symbols of capitalism, right. actually casting a shadow on the Kremlin wall. And I was amazed when I saw that McDonald's, because I hadn't been back since then, but I was amazed when I saw the size of that McDonald's at that location, and then the McDonald's that are really growing all over Russia.
Governor, a few other things going on here at 580KIDO. Your thoughts on the controversy and your signing of the campus carry. I know you've been working on that for quite some time. The Second Amendment, very important to you. I can remember the last time, a couple times ago, you said we have the most Second Amendment-friendly legislature. Certainly they proved that. Were you surprised at the opposition to that?
No. No, you know, I wasn't, and I understand their angst, but I also understand our obligation under the Constitution. And I understand our obligation under the Second Amendment. And actually, we in Idaho are blessed because I don't know about you, but I can't remember when there wasn't a gun in the house when I was growing up. In fact, I tell this story to a lot of folks. I'm not suggesting we start doing this today. But when I took gun safety, it was at McKinley Grade School up just off of Overland. And we were instructed to bring our guns to school, and the resource officer from the Fish and Game would come down and give us instructions on those guns. When I was in 4-H, the Fish and Game would always offer a resource officer to come and teach us gun safety and instruct us on the proper use of weapons.
Governor Otter with us as we continue on. Earlier today, we had a chance to catch up with Nagmeh Abedini. And she, I posted on Facebook, you have questions for the governor. And
yeah.
She said this, and I know you've been listening all morning long because you said told me Dave Burnett was wrong about you living at Star. And I told Burnett that, but he, anyway, a manly man segment. But anyway, this is what she said, and instead of me saying, I thought I would share it with you now.
I would like Governor Otter to know that I would appreciate any efforts he can do to speak out on Saeed to bring more awareness. I know that he deals with internal issues, and this has to do with the State Department, but anything he can say will bring attention to the president and anything he can do to. I know he released a statement early on last year or so, but the more he can do, the better, and I would appreciate that.
Your thoughts, sir?
Well, even though most of my concern is always internal issues, it is always going to be an issue to the governor of the state of Idaho, whether it's Butch Otter or anybody else. If an Idahoan has been kidnapped and being held against their will by some tyrannical force anywhere in the world, we've been involved in several. Well, you know how right. we've been involved with Bo Bergdahl. Because I'm a veteran. You know, I understand a lot of the code, the military code, on when you are kidnapped or when you are taken hostage and what that code says you can and cannot do and should not do. So there's a lot of things the hostages themselves can't do, especially if they're military. But and it's in this case, as a minister, I suspect that there's a certain spiritual guidance that they have as well. But that's why it's so important that those of us that are not being held hostage, those of us that are free to say so, should push the envelope just as far as we can to seek peaceful and release and quick release of anybody that's being held hostage.
And, you know, you and I go to the same church, or I go to your church, we'll say that, Holy Apostles there on Chinden and Meridian. Would you urge people to pray for Saeed?
Oh, absolutely. And I would tell you that if you know Father Lynn,
and
you do know Father Lynn, and all the folks obviously do their own thing in their own way. And prayer is one of the strongest forces that we've got. You know, we can have the strongest military, the best weaponry, the smartest this, the best drones. We can have all that stuff. But if you aren't spiritually correct, and if you don't seek that extra help, guidance, comfort, and if that is not being provided by those who care about you, well, then it's just going to be less of a process.
580-KIDO, Governor Otter with us. We go to the phones, and we're joined by Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
I've just got one question. I was at the GOP last night on their forum, and Senator Fulcher wanted to know when you were going to debate him. That's something I think a lot of people in Idaho would like to hear or see the two of you side by side so they can make a comparison between yourself and Senator Fulcher. Can you tell us when that might be?
Well, yeah, Tea Party Bob. In fact, if I recall right, we've now had some 27 or 28 joint appearances around the state. They're called the Lincoln Day Banquets. And, of course, this is a primary race, and those are the folks that we hope to encourage to go out and carry our banner and vote in our box in the primary. We do have a couple of other debates. I'm not sure when and where, but understand this, Bob. When we got the Lincoln Day schedule, it was early enough that I could put those voids into my schedule or put those dates into my schedule so that I could make it. It just happens that I've also got to complete my obligations as governor. And yesterday I spent most of the day in Idaho Falls, and I had several commitments when I got home. And so it was a date that I just couldn't make. There's been several other dates that have been suggested that I couldn't make. However, as I said, I know of at least one, and that's the public television
mm-hmm.
Debate that I'm going to be on. But quite frankly, we're going to be in Payette tonight at a Republican Lincoln Day banquet. We're going to be in Bonner's Ferry this Friday night, Sandpoint on Saturday night. So there's plenty of effort, Bob, for anybody, if they want to ask Fulcher and I questions, to come to those occasions, and we'll be free to answer your question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Tea Party Bob, 580-KIDO. And sitting on the campaign for a minute, what do you make of this run and your thoughts? I mean, people are wondering, third term, you're ready to go. Your reasons for reelection, sir.
Well, we have accomplished a lot as we went through the downturn, the uncertainty that's been caused by the Obama administration in many areas, and capitalization and investment. One of those areas that is always very, very careful, and whether it's Obamacare or whether it's his tax policy, whether it's his national policy relative to the redistribution of scarcity in this country, we've been able to come through a lot of those things. And during those downturns, we had to make some tough choices. We made those tough choices, and now we've got plans going forward. And I would tell you, the task force on education came up with 20 great points. We've got plan year one behind us now. The legislature accepted. We worked on year one's plan, and we've got that in place. We got four more years to go. So we got a 5-year plan to improve education.
And you want to be around for
350.
That.
I want to see it through. So we got some things started. The Line Commission on the future of INL. I just submitted a plan to the federal government on our control, our management control of 12 million acres of national forest in Idaho, of which about 1,800,000 is a very critical stage for either insect kill, disease, and or fire. Disastrous fire. So aside from those, there's a lot of other things. We're setting new goals on projects relative to the economy. I said Project 60. The next one, as we look at it, we want it achievable. And we want it to be predictable. And so maybe the next project is Project 80 or Project 85.
More coming up with Governor Otter next. We will talk about the West fight for their lands, the BLM controversy in Nevada, what that means to Idaho, and, of course, the Apache program, the A-10 program, and more with Governor Otter coming up next. 580-KIDO, let's get you to traffic. Good morning.
The chance to win cash is coming. Keep listening to find out more on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller with Governor Otter as we continue on. Governor, I know you're always familiar with what's going on in the West. Your thoughts on the BLM versus the Bundys. We had Speaker Betke in Salt Lake with a meeting of 50 lawmakers from nine Western states wanting the lands back. I know that's a big concern for you.
Right, and it should be a big concern for everybody. But I thought the actions taken by the BLM were over the top. There are a lot of legal ways to accomplish the very same thing. And in fact, I can't remember who I heard it from, but, you know, they could file a lien against his property for monies due. Obviously, if he owes the money, and he contends that, then there's the court system to go through. That's what makes this republic. A republic is the rule of law. And, but I certainly understand their resistance to that. We went through this, by the way. I'm going to say it was the late 70s. It was called the Sagebrush Rebellion. And at that time, Steve Sims and myself, a lot of folks in the West, kind of cut our teeth on the whole public lands question as a result of the Sagebrush Rebellion. And that was when Jimmy Carter said, we're not going to sell any more public lands. Those lands that we still own, we're going to keep. It was never intended for the federal government to keep those lands. But of course, now that we've kept them, there is a broad feeling of ownership, access, and those kinds of attitudes toward it. So, you know, I would hope that the BLM would learn from those actions that they took and seek the peaceful and legal means of executing their, if they have responsibilities, those responsibilities.
We go to the phones. We go to Eric in CUNA at 580-KIDO with Governor Otter.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Morning, Governor.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, I just wanted to say that was really great that you said that, you know, all the guns in the world don't mean anything if a person or a nation of people isn't spiritually sound. That's great. And I want to give you, like, total props for signing that bill protecting us from some of those executive orders just recently. I think it was, like, March 21st. I can't remember the name of the bill, but, you know, excellent. You know, you most likely have my vote. I have a question.
Well, most likely, Eric, what do I got to do to get it?
No, you got my vote.
Okay.
You're from Idaho. You've really, everything you've just said in the last 10 minutes is great. You know,
thank you.
You're a good guy. You know, totally. My question is, I know we have the health exchanges in Idaho, and how did they? Okay, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
We're a Republican state. Why couldn't we have just kept those privatized? And can we remove that if we want to? And did Idaho accept some big amount of money to institute those exchanges?
Well, Eric, two things. Number one, we only had two options. The first option was to let the federal government come into the state of Idaho and set up an insurance exchange and run it from Washington, D.C. The other option was the state of Idaho could set up its own insurance exchange and have Idahoans running it, and that's the option that I've strived for. Eric, when have we ever invited a agency full of bureaucrats to come into Idaho and run anything?
Sure.
We're trying to get them out of the state.
Sure.
In fact, the very people that are complaining because I established an insurance exchange. But let me wrap this up by saying I'm seeing some things in our insurance exchange right now that I predict to you, Eric, that in 4 to 5 years, we will not have a state-run insurance exchange. The private sector is stepping up with products and programs that convinces me that within 4 or 5 years, we're going to be able to privatize the whole thing.
Huh. Hey, well, guess what? You answered my question. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And you got my vote.
Thanks, Eric.
So, I don't know much about the other contender. And if you guys have a debate, I'll definitely watch it. But you're a good guy, and thanks for everything you do. You're doing a good job. You know, you're not just warming that seat. You probably don't sit in that seat very much.
Every time Kevin invites me, I'm here sitting in his seat. I'd be sitting in it more if he had moved this studio to Star, where
That's
we
right.
both live.
Yes, yes.
We live within a 9-iron shot of each other. A 9-iron golf club shot of each
yes.
other out in Star. We could talk across the ditch.
All right, Eric, thank you for the call. Governor, quickly, a final thought here on the Apaches, the A-10s. I know you're going to be meeting with the Air Force
right.
Chief of Staff.
Right.
Your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, besides Butch Otter, besides the TAG, the Adjutant General of the State of Idaho, Gary Sayer, the entire delegation and I are taking every opportunity that we can to meet with the folks that are making this decision. Some of these decisions are out ahead of us. One of them is the Apache, as Gary Saylor has told me about it. And here's why. We have done such a great job of maintaining the viability and the operations of our Apaches here in Idaho and seven other National Guards across the United States that the regular Army is saying, yours are in a lot better shape than ours are. We're going to take your Apaches, and we're going to put them into the regular Army. So they're moving from the National Guard to the regular Army, which says something about the effectiveness, the cost effectiveness, the operational effectiveness of our Idaho National Guard right here in Idaho. The A-10 is a platform that they say no longer is needed. Well, I disagree with them, but on the other hand, I'm reluctant to go after a single platform. What I'm going after is missions. If you take a look at the assets at Gowan Field and the assets, and I'm talking about brick and mortar, I'm talking about buildings, the tarmac that we have available, the training range we have available, the professional personnel that we have available, the Pentagon, if they're looking to get the best bounce for their buck and economy in our national defense, then come to Idaho, because they're getting the best bounce for their buck right here in Idaho. When we send an A-10, we send used to be an F-4, when we send an airplane up into the air, an F-15, a Strike Eagle out of Mountain Home, when they reach altitude, Kevin, they're over the training range. They don't have to spend right. a lot of gas. They don't have to call Fairchild and say, hey, send us a KC-131 in order to give us a refueling, because we can go out, do our targeting, and come back with the same tank of fuel. So every reason in the world, and what the Pentagon and the Obama administration is using for this right now, is that we need to take some money out of our national defense. Okay, if that's the case, I would probably disagree to the extent that they've done it. But I would also say then utilize those assets where you get the best bounce for your buck. And that just happens to be Gowan Field in Mountain Home, Idaho.
Governor, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Quickly to Lynette in Nampa. Good morning, Lynette.
Good morning. I had a question for Butch Otter. I'm all for the, you know, getting our federal lands back, but the question that I have in my mind is, when we get that back, the possibility of it being auctioned off is a growing concern. But even to further that just a little bit more along, the fact that the lands board, whom Butch Otter sits on, they might be buying it up so that they can compete further with the private sector, which has been their reputation. And I was wondering if he could dispel that fear.
All right. Well, the governor has left, so we'll have to catch him the next time.
No problem. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, Lynette. Thank you for listening to 580 KIDO. John Burlaw with us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute at 580 KIDO. John, good morning.
Thanks. Good to be on.
Good to have you here at Idaho with Kevin Miller in the morning. So let's talk a little bit about the future of how to finance a home and this big bill going on between Senator Corker and Senator Crapo on Capitol Hill.
Yes, well, unfortunately, their bill sees the answer as replacing Fannie and Freddie, which did contribute to bad loans and the housing crisis, and we want them phased out, but they want to replace it with an even bigger bureaucracy that I call Fetty Mick, the Federal Mortgage Insurance Corporation, that would take 90% of losses on new mortgage-backed securities. And today a letter was released by 26 conservative groups like Club for Growth, Freedom Work, and Americans for Tax Reform and the Competitive Enterprise Institute and more than 20 other groups opposing Johnson-Crapo, saying it's not reform, but it makes the system worse.
Then why would they position this bill to do it? What's their agenda?
What's whose agenda?
Corker and Senator Crapo, for if this bill makes the situation worse.
See, I don't know. They cut. You'll have to ask them that, and I'd be curious for their answer. But you know, when it's telling, when you've got people, you've got Democrats on board, like Senator Tim Johnson, as well as groups like the liberal groups like the Center for American Progress, who and some of the home builders who just loved Fannie, and now they're supporting this. Their argument seems to be that Fannie and Freddie were too stingy at giving government-backed loans. So we need something that will really turn the spigots on. And plus, this bill, I mean, is bad for a number of reasons, but it has what are called trust funds, which basically was Barney Frank's idea. They could act like slush funds for politically motivated housing groups, such as the old, you know, the now defunct notorious Acorn.
Well, I guess the argument that Senator Crapo and Senator Corker would have would be that you have so many of these investment groups looking to profit off this, and just like when you make an investment in, let's say, GM, when it went belly up before it was restructured or whatever, nothing's guaranteed. Is that the same thing, sir, for investing in Fannie and Freddie?
Well, there are many things wrong with the bill. I mean, there's the the conservatives who signed this oppose this for a number of reasons. It explicitly guarantees trillions in debt. So, I mean, the lenders to Fannie and Freddie are getting a free ride. So there are some investors who benefit handsomely from it. But also for people who are shareholders specifically in Fannie and Freddie, they're just asking for, and we're just asking for, that they be treated just like shareholders in any other corporation in a bankruptcy or a receivership, that you can't, just because a majority shareholder owns 80% of the company, decide, well, we'll vote to leave the other shareholders with nothing and take all the profits for ourselves. But that's basically, with the government being the largest shareholder and sort of the quasi-private Fannie and Freddie, decided to do in 2012. Obama and Geithner decided to do that. And this codifies that into law, prejudicing some of the court cases, some of the property rights cases that, you know, you and the caller just before that were talking about with federal lands. It's a taking. We're not talking about a guaranteed return on investment. We're just saying that shareholders should, their contract and property rights should be respected.
And if this bill goes through, does it make the banks more powerful than they already are?
I think you can see that by the fact that this is being supported by groups like the American Bankers Association, the Wall Street Trade Group, Financial Services Roundtable, that they're taking ads out supporting this, that it would create, as someone said, thousands of Fannie and Freddie. They would be able to put mortgages together and sell mortgage-backed securities that would have 90% backing from the federal government. That, you know, Senator Crapo makes a big deal that, you know, they will have to take the first 10% of losses. Now, I'm not a math genius, but that leaves 90% of losses for the taxpayer.
And finally, at 580KIDO, how does this impact me in good old Star, Idaho, if I just want to buy a home? What will be the changes in my ability to buy a home, to afford a home?
Well, it could, with some of the fees required, it could actually make it more expensive to buy a home initially. But I think as a taxpayer, and if the community bank, say, where you're purchasing the mortgage with a shareholder, as many are, because the regulators explicitly told them to get Fannie and Freddie stock, and then they're wiped out, that's going to be less ability for them to make that the mortgage another type of loan to you.
Interesting point. John, we appreciate it. Thank you.
CEI.org is our website. Thanks so much for having me on, Kevin.
Okay, CEI.org, Competitive Enterprise Institute. You guys do such great work. Have a good day, sir.
Thanks so much.
All right. You're listening to 580 KIDO. Time for traffic.
KIDO is having its 85th anniversary, and we're giving you the presents. Keep listening to find out how you can win $1,000 in cash on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
This is Governor Butch Otter. Happy 85th birthday to KIDO.
There we have it, the governor appearing on this program. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. And by the way, if you get a chance to, if you're looking for something inspirational, something hopeful, something very Eastern, Easter specific, take a listen to our podcast in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll share that with you not only at our website, 580kido.com, but we'll share that with you sometime probably next week during the 8 o'clock hour. A very heartfelt, very emotional, very Christian interview with Nagmeh Abedini talking about her husband still being held in Iran. You heard the governor speaking about that right here. The governor, man of faith. The governor talking about the need for Saeed to come home. Mentioned his work with Bo Bergdahl. Mentioned what goes on behind the scenes as well. So we do appreciate that. And it is something that we all need to be aware of. And, you know, people can talk about this, that, and the other. We get to talk about God. We get to talk about faith. We get to talk about prayer here, and I thank you for that. Coming up on Monday, Alma the anti-fracker will join us during the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk about shaling, fracking, oil exploration here in the state of Idaho. Tomorrow, we will be at Capital High School. Thank you, CapEd. Thank you, CapEd. Promoting our schools, securing our future. As we continue on here, other issues of the day, none more important than the front page of the Statesman today. Idaho caught in a helicopter quandary. If you missed our interview with the governor, he does address this. And here you have what we can do, what we can do concerning saving the Apache program. Remember, this show was the first one to break this. Thanks to our inside sources at the Pentagon. And we had heard about this story, not to be confused with the one, we'll be fair, to Dave Burnett, who talked about the A-10 program going away. But, you know, a lot of people say there's not a lot we can do. I don't buy that. Maybe because I've come from a family that has worked in the military. I've seen what those families put up with. They sacrificed their hard work. You know, we've got to bring it back home. Forget the parts from China. Forget globalists. You want the F-35A to be good and standard and ready to go? Get rid of the Chinese parts. Bring them back home to America. The A-10, people say, oh, it doesn't work anymore. Yeah, tell that to the troops in Afghanistan. Tell that to the troops in Iraq when they needed someone to take care of them. The AC-130s can only do so much. There is nothing that is the equivalent of the A-10. It's a flying, blanking tank. And we have them here. And friends, what happens if the Apaches go away? That's 400 jobs. If the A-10s go away, that's another loss of jobs for Idaho. Governor Otter, along with the congressional delegation, doing everything they can. But you know what you have to do? You have to lobby them. You know, we had congressional candidate Brian Smith on, talking about the need for the Apaches. But you have to respectfully tell Mr. Smith, Mr. Simpson, Mr. Crapo, Mr. Risch, Governor Otter, those programs are important. All our friends at Gowan Field, give me an email. This is your radio station. This is your radio show. Tell me what I can do to help you. Your identity will be protected. Let me know what I can do. It starts here. Let's go to traffic at 580K. And apparently pulling a liberal Steve, it's Ronnie from Caldwell at 580K IDO.
Hi, man, dude. I never pull a liberal Steve, but you know how you always like to help people with all your wisdom? Well, there's some things that I want to help people with. And you know this chick that just, she tasered a Walmart employee yesterday, dude, and her name's Sierra Moon.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier today.
I'm sorry, dude. I was probably still sleeping, man. I haven't been able to get up early these days, you know. But What I want to say to your listeners, man, is that any chick with a like a stripper name like Sierra.
You know, Ronnie, the rule is if we're not really talking about it, it's disrespectful for you to try and hijack the program. You know better than that, Ronnie. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. What would the world be without Ronnie?
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Melissa Harris-Perry. My goodness.
I want to slap somebody.
Exactly.
Ta-da!
The momentum continues with Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey.
I just want to slap somebody.
I want to slap somebody.
Come on!
I want to slap somebody.
Oh, my goodness. And Sean Hannity. Good day, God bless, Capitol High School.
I just want to slap somebody.
No, we're not
going to
slap somebody at Capitol High.
Jackpot, brother.
We're there tomorrow, Cap Ed. Thank you. Good day, God bless. Keep the faith.
Judy Emmett.